Good morning. It is my great pleasure to share with you the Word of God from the book of Hebrews. I've been preaching through this book, the book of Hebrews, for quite some time. And today we are at verse 30 of chapter 11, talking about the faith of Joshua and of Israel. Now, as we open the book of Joshua, we sense that it was the end of an era. Moses had died. 40 years of wilderness wandering for Israel had come to an end. Of course, of those who had been with Moses from the earliest days of the Exodus, only two men still remain: Caleb and Joshua were the two men that remained. They had served and learned in the shadow of the great leader Moses for 40 years. And with the death of Moses, all Israel knew there existed in the leadership a vacuum, and it would be difficult to fill. The one who would succeed Moses had to be as great in order to finish the task he had begun. Moses had brought Israel out of the land of bondage, but now God wanted to bring Israel into the land of promise. Some people talk about born leaders, but it is rarely so. Perhaps one out of millions. So-called born leaders are actually those who have learned to lead early in life. And the key to become a successful leader is to first invest time and energy in and learning how to lead. That usually begins by the first learning how to follow a real leader. Now, God was looking for someone to fill the shoes of Moses. And he found that person who had learned how to be a great leader from Moses. And that person was none other than Joshua. Who was Joshua? Well, the name Joshua was given by Moses. His given name was Hosea, son of Nun. He was from the tribe of Ephraim. His father bore the name of the Egyptian god Nun, suggested that the family had abandoned their faith in the God of Israel and became involved in the worship of the Egyptian deities. God knew Joshua better than anyone else. He knew that Joshua would someday lead his chosen people into the land of promise. He also knew Joshua first need to learn how to lead. And therefore, he put him under the discipline of Moses, taught him to be a servant, and learned to obey orders. 40 years prior to his crossing the Jordan River and the conquest of Canaan, Joshua was a slave in Egypt like his fellow men. Now let's talk about his training. His training begins in the wilderness. And it was the first time of training which God prepare him for the greater work of conquest and settling the people in Canaan. The first lesson Joshua learned was learning about spiritual conflict. His leadership training course began in the battle against Amalek at Rephidim. The Amalekite was a tribal group living in Sinai and southwest of Canaan. They came to the children of Israel and attacked those who were lagging behind, those who were weak, sick, and helpless and weary. And that's the way they conduct the battle. To me, it is like the ISIS attack those who are weak, who could not defend well. So these people did the same way, attack those who were weak. It was there Joshua led the army of Israel to against them. And it was there he learned that the victory of the battlefield came from the Lord. He was able to win the battle because of the lifted arms of Moses in prayer with the support of Aaron and Ur. Now the lifting of hands was a symbol of appeal for divine help and enablement. It was there Joshua learned two important lessons. He discovered prayer was mightier than sword. And he was reminded that God was committed to defend Israel as he had promised. The second lesson Joshua learned was learning about patience. Joshua, at this time, accompanied Moses up the mountain of Sinai. During much of that 40 days period, Moses was alone with God, receiving the law and the pattern for the tabernacles. Joshua was alone, waiting patiently for Moses. He did not know when Moses would return. He did not know at all. What did he do during the 40 days period of waiting? Yeah, my friend, we do not know. However, it was a time of testing his patience of waiting for Moses. He remembered to stay where he was and waiting for Moses to return. That was the thing he knew. He must wait for Moses to return. All of us know that it is not easy to wait for someone. And especially it was not easy for Joshua to wait for Moses for 40 days up on the mountain alone in a solitary place. The Israelites could not wait for Moses. As a result, they committed sin of idolatry. Remember that? They make the golden calf and worshipping it. But Joshua waited patiently until Moses returned. So that was the second lesson he learned. Third, he learned the lesson about sustained confidence. One of the greatest factors in the life of godly men is their faith in God. The wilderness journey taught Joshua the importance of a sustained confidence in God. Joshua was one of the spies sent into Canaan from Kadesh Barnea, and he was one of the two spies who brought back a good report. He urged the people to trust God Even though that was an unpopular position to take at that time. Why? First, he was outnumbered in his position among the spies, 2-10. Secondly, the people themselves greatly opposed Joshua and Caleb to the extent of wanting to stone them. Joshua stood firm in the promise of God's word. He believed what God had said and God would fulfill. And that is his confidence in no matter what happened. So that's the third thing he learned during this time. Finally, he learned about his calling. Joshua was able to follow Moses as leader because God had clearly called him to do so. Let's listen to what Moses said to him. I just quote one passage here from Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 7 and 8. Here Moses said unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has shown unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doeth go before thee. He will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. This is Moses' word to Joshua, telling him that this is what God wants him to do, and God will be with him, will lead him. So he was called to do the work. Leading Israel into the promised land was simply a reward of his faithfulness. It was the result of God's choice to call Joshua for the task. Just as God has called Moses to lead Israel out of bondage, so he called Joshua to lead Israel into the land of promise. And we can see this very clearly in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. The Lord appeared and spoke to Joshua, called him, gave him the encouragement to go into the land of promise. So to serve the Lord in this way, to serve the Lord, to be the Lord's minister, one must be called. One must be called. And this is something which is very important to the ministry of the Lord. Now we come to the Battle of Jericho. Now once the children of Israel enter the promised land, it was the journey of no return. Why? Behind them, the flooding Jordan River blocked all retreat. There was no way that they could return to the wilderness. Before them was Jericho, her gates sealed tight, and her men of war on the walls ready to defend her city. Most of the Israelites had never seen a fortified city, and therefore fear runs high in the camp, despite the great things that God had done for them. Now, humanly speaking, Joshua alone bore all the responsibility of leading the group of frightened people. He needed to get away to pray, to meditate, and to plan for the conquest. He needed to do all these things because it is a serious task. And therefore, he needed to take time to pray and to think how to do the work. Just before the battle, Joshua went out of the camp in the dark to survey Jericho for himself and to seek God's guidance. Then suddenly he met a stranger. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 to 15, we have read that passage just now, and we know that the Lord appeared to him. Now, the question is this: who was the captain of the Lord of hosts? Who was this person? I'm sure that this commander of the army of the Lord was a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, known as Christophany. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ did appear a few times in the Old Testament, as recorded in the Bible. The first time he appeared to Abraham as a traveler to share in a family meal with Abraham. Of course, he broke the news about Sarah will have a son, and also the news about Sodom and Gomorrah. The second time he appeared to Jacob, he came as a wrestler to bring him to the place of submission. In Genesis 32 tells us that. Thirdly, in the Bible, we know that the three Hebrew men during the time of Daniel met Jesus as their companions in the furnace of fire. If you read Daniel chapter 3, verse 25, you notice the person who appeared to them was known as the Son of God, the Son of God. So it must be the Lord Jesus Christ. And here, our Lord appeared to Joshua as the commander of the Lord's army. You know why? Because this was a time of going to fight a battle. So he appeared as a commander of the host. Our Lord always comes to us when we need him and in the way we need him. Be able to us in the way to help us. And so then Joshua received God's better plan. Instead of he planning, the Lord planned for him for the conquest of Jericho. Actually, I wanted you all to read, but you all read this passage, so I do not want to read through again. You all know this very well. God gave Joshua the plan of how to conquer Jericho. And the Lord himself had given explicit instruction to Joshua that he demanded implicit obedience. The precise order was soldiers, then seven priests carrying seven ram's horn, which we call it shofars. Then in the middle, the Ark of the Covenant on the shoulders of more priests than the people, and finally behind was soldiers. The conduct of the procession was likewise carefully specified. For the first 6 days, they were to march once around the walls each day, maintaining absolute silence while the priests blew intermittently on their trumpet, or we call it the shofars. On the seventh day, they were to maintain silence as they circled the wall seven times. At the end of the seventh round, Joshua would give the command to the people to shout, and the priests would blow the shofars, and the wall would fall down. Now, this is what the Lord wants Joshua to tell the people to do according to the plan. Now, in military history, foes is conquered by force. Walls are smashed by bombardments. Then they are scaled by the ladders and ropes. Gates are smashed by battering rams. Troops are taken by swords. Walls do not fall by making bad music on the ram's horn. No, you would not fall at all. So when the Canaanites saw, or when the Canaanites got a good look at the procession, they would laugh and make fun of the children of Israel. They could not believe in their eyes. They would regard these Israelites were fools. Through the instruction, though the instruction looked foolishly contrary to human logic, Israel as a body believed the word of God through Joshua. Now we ask the question, what had contributed to such a great faith? Where did they receive such a great faith, trusting God by carrying out all these procedure? Obviously, their recent experience of crossing the Jordan River helped them. They had witnessed the miracle of God opening the way for them to cross the river into Canaan. The other reason was their faith in Joshua's leadership. Therefore, Israel really did believe God was going to give them Jericho. They believed from their hearts. They truly believed. There was no doubt at all. How do we know? Well, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 30 says so. Hebrews 11 verse 30 says, By faith, the wall of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. That means Israel did have faith. They were not pretending to believe. As they marched silently around the wall, they did believe the wall would tumble down. That is what they believed with all their heart. And their faith pleased God because they were believing that God exists and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11 verse 6. If we trust God, believe God of what He had promised you, God would reward, God will answer, will give you the answer. And this is true. We have experienced many of this kind of thing in our lives. In the mission work, we have seen many of these things. I was away in October to attend the CEM China Evangelistic Mission 40th year anniversary. This mission is run by faith. And by now it's 40 years. And the Lord has been blessing this work mightily. And on that day, in October, that I was unable to attend the anniversary, I went to Maypen to baptize 7 candidates, so I missed it. But I heard from the report, just alone, there are members from North Thailand. There were more than 1,500 of them assembled to celebrate the anniversary. I thank God for that. It was a very rough beginning. But after 40 years, the Lord blessed the work. I believe in the near future, all the work of mission in Thailand will hand over to the local people. And the missionary will do other work, will send to other places to do the work. They have orphanage, they have drug rehabilitation center, they have student hostel, they have Thai churches, Chinese churches, plus many other kind of work. Now, all this work, there are local people taking charge already, except one, and that is the Bible College, the Bible Seminary. And once that is taken care of by the local people, then the missionary will withdraw to other places to do the work. 40 years had the Lord been blessing them. Where did they get the farm? For 40 years, by faith, trusting God. They knew that this is what God wants them to do, and they did it. Do it faithfully. And the Lord keep on providing them. So, thank God for that. For those who seek Him by faith, the Lord will reward him. And so here we see the children of Israel believe God. God promised to them, and they truly believe. And God is going to fulfill what He has promised. How do you know they really believe? Well, the evidence that they believe the word of God is that they obey what the Lord has instructed. The object lesson here is that a life of faith is evidenced by a life of obedience to God's word when it seems absurd. It may not be logical, but when God says so, and it will be so. So, my friend, to the unbelieving mind, to the Jordanites, to those who are in Jericho, or the Canaanites, Israel's weapon appeared not only weak, but ridiculous. No one had used that method to conquer the city, but Israel did that. Israel's victory was due to their obedience in the word of God. It was due to that. And the Lord blessed them and reward them. Now, what is the most important thing in this story of Joshua? The most important thing. What is the most important thing in the march around the wall? The most important thing in this story, marching around the wall, is the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant. The account of the narrative mentioned the Ark no less than 9 times. You read carefully from Joshua chapter 6, 1 to 13, the Ark of the Covenant mentioned 9 times, at least 9 times. The Ark was borne in the middle of the procession within the priest, with the priest shofars blasting constantly as herald of God's presence. And it was God's presence that circled Jericho those 7 days, and it was His presence that would brought the wall down. The main focus of Israel's exercise of faith was their awareness that God was with them. God was leading them in the battle. They were not imagining this. God was really with them, but He manifested Himself, especially through the ark. And that realization that God was in their midst had a great impact on the Israelites' exercise of faith. And this is what we need. This is what will enable us to conquer the evil opposition that confronts us. Now, in our worship service, if we have this awareness that God is with us, listening to our singing and our singing will be more God glorifying. Do you think so? If we know that God is here, I will believe that you will sing from your heart to praise Him, to glorify Him. If we have this awareness, truly awareness that God is here, and I'm preaching and He's looking at all of you, I believe all of you will pay attention. to listen. So the awareness of God's presence is very, very important. So as the children of Israel encircled Jericho, the Canaanites saw nothing more than the foolish people carrying the golden box, But the Israelites saw the unseen. They saw the unseen. They saw the Ark of the Covenant. They saw that God was represented there. Their focus was on God. And they knew that God was with them. And this is the focus that brings down the wall of Jericho. Not just going round and so forth. It is the Ark of the Covenant. And it must have been very difficult for the children of Israel to keep silence during those first 6 days of processions. Their enemies make no restraints of making fun of them. And not one stone in the wall had loosened. There were no cracks in that city at all. Everything remained the same. On the seventh day, the Israelites encircled Jericho the seventh round. Everything still the same, as usual, as normal. But on the seventh round, Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." And this is where the thing happened. The wall collapsed. Every man charged in and took the city of Jericho. At that moment only, the wall collapsed. That shout was the voice of faith. Their lips declare what they believe in their hearts, that God had given them the city. So my friend, in conclusion, true faith obeys God and His word, even when it seems absurd. True faith focuses on God and sees the unseen. It cultivates a special sense of His presence, that He is with His people. True faith declares what is within the heart to the people. If you are truly a Christian, you would like to tell people about the gospel. That is a true faith. You will not be afraid to speak a word for the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this regard, the Christmas cantata is coming soon. And it's time to exercise your faith. Tell your friend about the good news. Come to the church and join in the cantata. Not just the mark, and just tell them the good news. That is a confession of your faith to the people. Don't be afraid to let people know that you are Christians. So the question is this: how is your faith? We can learn from Joshua and the Israelites how they exercise their faith. They confess it. They did what according to what the Lord has spoken to them. So may God help each one of us as we live for Him, as we shine for Him. Let us exercise our faith. Tell the people about the good news, bring the people in, and the Lord will honor your faith.